If there was ever a time when you took this serious to pray for your government employees, it's now. You better pray for them. If you don't pray for them, see, God is in control, but God's in control, and He uses us on this earth to persuade Him to do things because we are His body. We are the body of Christ. And so when we pray and seek Him, then He does things. I mean, I think of the number of times that I have prayed for people and saw God do awesome miracles and healings and everything else. I mean, if I hadn't have prayed, what would have happened? I mean, I'm just going to point out somebody here right now. I think about a year and a half ago or something like this, a young man came to this ministry and he had a severe back problem. And he'd been to other places to try to get it taken care of, and it hadn't happened. And so he came to the ministry, and I told him he had sin in his life, and he had to get rid of the sin. If he would, I would pray for him, and the God I served would heal him. So he repented, and I prayed for him, and it appeared nothing happened. And I told him, I said, you've got to walk this out now. I said, now it may take God a day, or a week, or a month, but if you stand on His word, He'll heal you. But before that man got to his car, his back was healed. Well, it forever changed this man's life, and he's sitting right here on the front row. Hallelujah. Right here. It forever changed his life. Now, what if I had not prayed for Jack? What if God had not led him to our ministry? He might have still been down in his back, or he might have been worse by now. Who knows what it is? But, I could point out many of you in here the same thing. But why does God do things? Because of our prayers. So if we don't pray for these people in power, then God ain't going to do nothing except just let the judgment continue to flow. If there was ever a time in your life, you better make sure you're walking in obedience to God's word. It's right now. If there was ever a time when you're praying for your governmental authorities, it's now. Because I will have to say, those of us that have read the book, we do not have to stand in any kind of fear. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God says, those that walk upright before Him, I will protect you. And that's comforting to me. We need to pray for our government authorities because who put them in power? God put them in power. He put them there. Now then, we're going to take some testimonies. Anybody got a testimony? You want to tell us something God has done in your life? We got somebody back here who wants to give us. Oh, okay, we got one right here. Praise the Lord. We have a young lady that's been to the far sides of the world here as a missionary to see what she's happened.
In Uganda, we worked with the missionaries there. Now, we were gone for, 2 weeks, but I think we spent 10 days there in Africa. And the first place was Uganda, and they have a radio station there that they do. These missionaries are on the radio station twice a day, I believe it is, and it's called Night Light. And it's really fruitful. They are bearing all kinds of fruit there. And so they wanted Sarah and I to give our testimonies. So we were on there three different times. And each time we were on there, that program was going out to 3 million people.
Wow.
And we ended it with, prayer, the salvation prayer. So no telling how many souls came out of that. And there it is for you. That's my testimony on that radio station. And then I was waiting for them to put this on paper, and they didn't yet from Uganda because I didn't take any pictures. They said they'd do it all. But anyway, here it is on DVD. If anybody, however Thurman wants to do this, if anybody wants to see these pictures of what actually went on in Africa and Uganda and Kenya, okay. It's there on DVD. And let me see what our stats are here. In that period of time, the two of us, 10 days in Africa, we witnessed to 300 people, and we had the radio station, which was 3 million times 3, and we prayed with 100 people. I mean, there would just be people right and left needing prayer and wanting to get prayer for healing. We won 30 souls to Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We took with us 317 Bibles, got all those out, and then had like, I think it was 150 sent after that. So those have all been gotten out. We distributed 175 tracts. We visited two orphanages, and we've been working with them, praying with them. They are now, one of their representatives is back in the States trying to get a tax ID, however you get that nonprofit organization worked out so that anybody gives donations to them can get a tax write-off. And let's see, and we distributed 400 of your CDs and DVDs.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Very, very fruitful. Very
Amen.
Fruitful.
Praise the Lord.
And have you gotten any response in your emails from anybody in Africa?
Oh, goodness. I've had 400-something emails, so I don't know who all they
Okay. Because we did advertise your email.
Yeah.
So it was extremely fruitful. I think I'm leaving out something. What am I? Just wonderful testimonies. And one day in Uganda, they, well, in both places actually, they invited all the nationals over there that they've been working with year after year. These are people that are, these are young people actually, that and adults that are just very, very strong in the Word because of these missionaries and the work they're doing there. And they have Bible courses from A to Z, raising them up as leaders for the Lord in their faith and all the scriptures and everything, their walk with the Lord. And they all came over, and there was like 45, just filled their whole living room, and these are good, strong, solid Christians, you know. We absolutely love Uganda. It's a Christian country. It just blew me away. They're so poor. They're raising their little corn and their little vegetables in the backyard, but they get up and use the last little bit of coal they have to heat up an iron and stick it on there, and their shirts are all pressed and their little slacks, and everybody's neat and clean, and they were so sweet and so giving and just really good Christians over there, you know. So they need a lot of feeding to turn into the leaders that God wants to make of that
Amen.
Nation,
Amen.
And they sing a song on there. You'll just love this radio station if you get to hear it. They sing a song, you know, Uganda is the Pearl of Africa, and it really was, and they just treated us really royally. We were moving 90 miles an hour all the time to see everything and get to visit these orphanages and supply them with food. So that's where your money went. Your money went to help us actually win the souls, get food to these orphans, and just get out there and do the job, you know, and it bore a lot of fruit. God bless you guys so, so much. We really appreciate being able to represent you, you know, and being able to do something like this. Thank you very much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think about the creator of the universe and how he made the universe. I think that's why that's my favorite song when I... This awesome God that we serve, he's beyond my wildest dreams. When I look at the cosmos and think, he made that. And most of us, just like this morning when Dave was talking about praising the Lord, when I got up early this morning and I was in my office preparing, as I did last night, yesterday evening, and last night I read for hours and hours and hours. Could never get anything that I thought was going to be okay, so I got up early this morning and worked again until 1:30. Actually, 1:40 is when I went out of my office to go change my clothes to come in here. And I was thinking, I know at least 30 or 40 minutes of that morning, I did stop, reared back in my chair, and just worshiped him. And I stopped and I said, Lord, thank you that that works. Thank you that I can see. Thank you that I can hear. Thank you that even though I stayed out too late the other night working on a trailer in the cold, thank you anyway, Lord, that I can still talk today. But anyway, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Well, I'll have to say that Paul, I don't know, Paul was probably a better speaker than I am. But I'll have to say that when I come to you, I did not come with excellency of speech. In fact, I know that some of the men that out there that I've spoken in their conferences, I've even had one or two of them tell me that, Thurman, if I could sharpen you up on your English, you'd be a better speaker. I thought, well, okay, that probably would be true, but I'm glad that God doesn't hold my English against me. I'm glad he answers my prayer anyway. So, but I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. But that's what I do. I do come to you and telling you and declaring unto you the testimony of God, of what God does, who He is. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, when you get a hold of the fact that this is what we're preaching, you know, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we think this is where everything is at. This is where eternal life is. This is where healing is. This is where deliverance is. This is where prosperity is. This is where everything is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Without Him, when Dave made that statement earlier, some of you may not remember what he said, but obviously it stuck with him whenever I made that statement. Yesterday we were out there working on a piece of equipment, and I said, Dave, every human being in the world, whether they know it or not, is living under the rules of the Word of God. Lost or saved, it makes no difference. I mean, when the Lord says in His Word that the wicked shall be cut off, they shall die prematurely, they shall not live out their life. Now, you can be a Christian and still be wicked. You know, most people don't see that, but the very minute that you are a Christian and you turn against God's way of doing things in His sight, you become wicked. Now, see, we can see that in Matthew 18 when Jesus took one of His servants and He forgave him for all that huge debt he had. And then that brother wouldn't forgive his brother. When the Lord called him in, He said, you wicked servant, didn't I forgive you that huge debt? Shouldn't you have at least done likewise to your brother that owed you that little debt? So because you didn't do it, neither will I forgive you. In fact, because you're now wicked, I'm going to turn you over to the torturer, to the tormentor. See, the average Christian does not believe that God will turn you over to the devil. But He will. He certainly will. And when you've seen as many of these and had as many of these experiences as we have at the Living Savior Ministries, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the devil is here to torment us. But he's here to torment us when we break God's rules. Now, when we break them, who knows how many ways we can break them. But it's real easy to fall. You know that? It's real easy to fall. You know, and then when you do, you get a devil turned loose on you. And, of course, you know, who knows what we do. But all of us do these kind of things all the time. And verse 3 and 4. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, that's a man. That's Paul. He's just like me. You know, I'm in just a normal old man. You know, young man or whatever you want to call say, but I am a man. You know, and I am, when you say you're strong, okay, so I can still pick up 100 pounds of feed or 100 pound sack of cement or something like that. I can think about my dad when he was a young man. I mean, when he was 50 years old, I've seen my dad many a time back his little old 49 pickup up, Ford pickup, and take a 55-gallon barrel of diesel. Now, that stuff, you know, that's 400 pounds. I mean, most of you, most men in this room probably couldn't even turn that over. But most of you women definitely couldn't, unless you're a lot stronger than I think you are. But I've seen my little 170-pound daddy, I don't have any idea how many times, lean that barrel of diesel over on the back of that tailgate, reach down and get this in and stand it right straight up and set it right inside that pickup. 400 pounds. I've seen him do that. He used the leverage. And then I think about in his last years, when he couldn't hardly even hold his own weight up. He died when he was 79 years old. Now, my daddy had been a heavy smoker all of his life. It had messed with his lungs, and when he was about 75, he had to have lung surgery. They took out a big chunk of his lungs, and the doctor said, if I'd had to take any more of your daddy's lung out than I did, he would have never come off the operating table alive. He would have died on the operating table. I thought that was a choice my daddy made when he was a young man to start smoking. And he did. He smoked all of his life, and it cost him tremendously. But, you know, don't let those kind of things have an impact on you. You know, don't smoke. You know, don't drink. Don't do all the things that God tells you not to do, because it's going to have a tremendous impact on you. But he was a man, just a normal man, just like I am, in weakness, and we are weak. Although you might be able to pick up 100 pounds, that's nothing. You know, that's nothing. You know, some men can do things when they're young. My lands, they think they're strong as a bull ox, and really, compared to God, they're nothing. You know, you have no strength at all. So we have to realize we're in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And he says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, when I preach the Word of God, I preach it just exactly like it's written in God's Word. I take it verse by verse, line by line, word by word. And when I preach it with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Many a time, and since while I called out Jack a while ago, I mean, I preached or proclaimed the Word of God with power the day he come to my church over in Dallas, and when I told him if he would repent of sin, I would pray for him, and I guaranteed him God would heal his back. Well, me being an old Southern Baptist in the past, and he being a Southern Baptist in the past, that was a little unique to him at the time. He didn't know that, but a few years before that, I didn't know that either. But God has called me out to give me a gift of working and teaching people how to get healed. We all know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has done this, because every time, regardless whether it was Jack I prayed for, whether it was Cheryl I prayed for, whether it was Sharon I prayed for, or whoever, Bruce, anybody I prayed for, did I do that? No. Who did that?
God.
So it's the Holy Spirit of God that when you speak the words of God, he shows up when you're walking in obedience to his word, doing what he says, when you're teaching his word, when you pray for someone, the king shows up with a demonstration of his spirit to heal or to save a human being. Now then, when Candace was telling us about the 30 souls they led into the kingdom, that's the most important thing any of you will ever do in your life is bring somebody into the kingdom of God. There is no other miracle greater than this one miracle. If I had to give up everything in my whole life, everything, but only be able to keep one thing, it's my salvation. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of his power. Now then, if we today, as sons and daughters of God, we should be in the Word of God, we should be knowing so much of the Word of God and how it's written and believing exactly what is written, and we should have such great faith within us that when we pray, we should know God's going to do something. I mean something. We need to be walking in a demonstration of the Spirit's power in the United States of America. The church, the believers, of course, is the ones I'm talking about. That's all of us. But I'm going to tell you, for this to happen, you've got to be in the Word. You've got to be putting God first. You have to believe his word is true. Every word of his word is true, not just part of it. If you want to pray for people, I mean, I think about, in fact, I'll point out another woman here, as I think about here, how her life has been changed. When she got a hold of my teaching, she was a normal woman, I guess you'd call her normal, and this woman got so on fire for this teaching, she left her home where she lived in the Northeast and come all the way down here and started a new business. And what it had taken her years to build, when she came down here knowing God and what he was, it wasn't but a matter of just weeks or maybe a couple of months or whatever it was till her plate was overflowing with business. And that's this lovely little lady sitting right here on the front row up here, right back there. And then, of course, you know, she finally enticed her husband to come down here, and we prayed for him, and God changed his life right back there in the corner that day. I mean, actually did it at home. And then, of course, Bruce came down here, and then he got him a good job over here in town. And right now, they're, you know, everything's going pretty well for them. But she's the kind of woman that she'll even put a sign on her door, "I clean houses for Jesus." You know, this woman's radical. You know, she's crazy. Well, why do you think God blesses her? Because that's the kind of people he loves. He loves people that's crazy for him. And when we're crazy for Jesus and we talk about Jesus, we talk to people, the people you work for, I'm sure. You share Jesus, you're always doing that, Lisa, with everybody, I know. And that's why God has so blessed you down here. Now then, We need to be able to produce a demonstration of the Spirit's power somehow, some way, with our boldness. Whenever we talk to people, the people need to know, my lands, that woman, man, that woman must really know Jesus. I mean, 6 months later, somebody says, have you met a woman of God lately? Says, oh, yeah, this woman that cleans my house. Man, if I ever seen a woman that's a woman of God, let me tell you, it's this woman right here. You know, that's the way you and I ought to be living, right?
Amen.
We need to produce a demonstration of the mighty Spirit of the living God so that people will say, hey, wow. In fact, I think Jack, after he come and got healed, he began to understand the power of prayer. So I got real tickled at an email he sent me the other day. He was down somewhere on the way to Houston or something in one of his trucks or something. He had a problem and with it. Now, I may not tell it exactly right, but it'll be close enough, I think. Anyway, the radiator had a problem, and he took it in, and the guy tried and tried and tried to fix a leak, and he couldn't fix it. And he just kind of told Jack, well, it can't be fixed. And Jack said, you know, he said it'd take a miracle to fix this radiator or something like that. So Jack said, well, I serve a God. My boss, I think that's what he said, my boss does miracles. He says, who's your boss? He said, Jesus Christ. He said, I want to pray for you to fix that radiator. Well, now this guy, you know, whoa, this guy's a nut. So Jack prayed. And the guy went back there, and in minutes he had the radiator fixed. Now see? Now, that old boy will probably remember you forever.
He does.
Yeah, he'll remember you forever. Now, see, you don't have to pray for somebody to get healed. You pray for somebody to be able to do something they couldn't do in their own line of work, and your God, Jesus Christ, showed up and helped that man to fix it. And that guy, next time he sees Jack, he says, oh, you're that guy. Prayed for me, and I fixed that impossible radiator. He will forever remember you. Well, now, see, that's the way the world needs to remember you and I. We ought to be praying, we ought to be walking holy, we ought to purify ourselves from all sin, walking holy in obedience to God's word, so when we pray, the King shows up. And when he shows up, this demonstration of the Spirit's power, and all of us in the church should be walking here. Not just one or two of us every once in a while, all of us need to be walking in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Now then, verse 5 and 6. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now see, if you're walking in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, people will realize it's not you. Now then, if we preach every Sunday and we never see a demonstration of the Spirit's power, then let's say I was the most eloquent speaker and all this kind of stuff, and say the place was packed with people every Sunday, but I was just a great speaker of God's word, but I never had a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Somebody might say, why do you go to Thurman's church? Oh, man, he's such a good teacher. It's all about me. Right. Now, there's a lot of churches full of those kind of people, but there's no demonstration of the Spirit's power. Well, hey, I don't want you to come to see me. I want you to come to see Jesus. He's the King of this church. He's the one that we want to do these demonstrations by His Holy Spirit. We want people to come here that when they get the Word of God in them, they will go out and become a man or a woman that will go out with such purity and holiness and pray and see your God show up with you out there in the workplace. That's where He's supposed to show up, everywhere. Now then, but in the power of God, howbeit, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princesses of the world that come to naught. Now then, the princesses of this world is Satan and his host of demons. Now then, let's see what verse 7 says about these guys. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Isn't this something? We speak this in a mystery. Then you wonder why the world, the lost world, don't understand what we talk about. But they don't. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now, Satan and his host of demons did not understand this mystery at all, what God was doing through the price of his Son. Which none of the princes of this world, or Satan and his host of demons, knew. For had Satan and his kingdom known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, I read that a lot of times before that made sense to me what that meant. if Satan had have known that he was going to be judged. Now, again, Satan was living under the Word of God and he didn't even know it. See, under Genesis, I believe it's Genesis 9, 6. In fact, let's go there, Dave, right quick. We'll go back there and we'll come back to verse 8. Genesis 9, 6, and let's see what this says. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, it said, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he men." What does that mean? If you go out and take somebody's life, say I kill Tom today for no reason. I just walked up and said, "Tom, I don't like you no more. I'm just going to pull a gun out and bam, I'm going to kill you." Could I do that?
Yes.
Sure, I can do that. Now then, if I do that, there happens to be a law in this land. If I killed that man and had no legal right to do it, he wasn't attacking my house, he wasn't harming nobody, I just decided I didn't like him and I'm going to kill him, then my life's going to be required of me. In other words, when I killed him, I killed myself. That's something, isn't it? And you know, what is it when you get so mad at somebody, you can't stand it, what is it keeps you from doing harm to them? The law. The law. Is that right? I mean, I think about this woman one time that came to me and she said, "You know, I've been married 40 years. She said, I never heard teaching like this. I should have heard this a long time ago. Because she said, if I'd have known this, she said, I married a man 40 years ago, and I thought he was the loveliest, most wonderful man I ever met in my life. I didn't know he was an alcoholic. He had hidden that from me, totally, completely. But she said, the minute we got married, it came out. And he come home drunk. She said, I did everything in the world. I even meditated on murder. She said, he made my life so miserable. She said, one night he was laying there in the bed drunk. He'd come in, and he was just drunk, wiped out. And she said, I walked in, and I looked at him, and I said, God, I know you say no murder has eternal life, and that ain't worth going to hell for. Lord, I'd kill him. That's what he needs to be. He needs to be killed. He is worthless. He's useless, and he's my husband. But she said, Lord, I tell you what I'm going to do, God. I've tried for 5 years to change him, and I couldn't do it. So tonight I'm going to tell you, Lord, I'm turning him over to you. And she said that was the most intelligent thing I had ever done in my life. Said 1 week later, my husband got gloriously saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and the last 35 years of our marriage has been fantastic. 5 years of hell and 35 years of bliss. Well, it could have been 35 years of hell and 5 years of bliss. I've heard it both ways, haven't you? But see, the woman made the right decision finally to turn him over to the Lord. As long as she was meditating on killing him, but see, she knew the reason she didn't do that is because if she killed him, she's going to go to jail. And she might lose her life. And she knew in the courts of heaven, she was going to lose her salvation. Does the Word of God say, no murder has eternal life? No murder has eternal life. So if she'd have murdered him, she would have sacrificed her salvation and went to hell forever for that worthless guy. Now, once he got saved, he's not worthless anymore. He's useful, you know. But there's been a lot of people had one of those worthless husbands or worthless mates, and they struggled with some of them for years, and finally some of them just divorced them and said, that's it, I'm giving up. They never once dreamed of turning him over to God and letting him have it, because God can change anybody. He can do anything, but we don't know how to do this. So anyway, these principalities and powers we're talking about here, Satan, although he knew this scripture, he didn't realize that when he killed Jesus, he was going to give up his legal claim to the earth. Now see, up until this point of 2,000 years ago, when he put Jesus on the cross, the earth and the kingdoms of the earth belonged to Satan. He ruled it. He was in charge of it. But that's what Jesus came for. And this was a mystery that even the devil himself did not understand. I'm going to do everything I can to get this man to sin. And if you take a human being today and you sick him on somebody and say you do everything you can to make this man sin, I guarantee there's not a single one of us that somebody that really knows what they're doing, somewhere along the line you can drive a man to the point that he'll break. He'll break. He'll sin. He'll do something. And unfortunately for me, it's not quite that hard. I know some of you are laughing like, hey, that may not be that hard for me either. Huh? But I am a man, and when things don't go just exactly like I want sometimes, I get upset. Oh, Lord, forgive me. But I'm still a man. And I know that y'all are men and women, and I know y'all have the same problems I have in your life. You can be going wonderfully well. I can be going, everything's going great, and there's no problems. And I just tell somebody, how you doing? I've got the best day I've ever had in my life. And I walk in, and somebody tells me something devastating just happened, or whatever, and unfortunately, everything in my life can flip right over upside down. You ever been like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're human beings, aren't we? Unfortunately. But the thing about it is, when Satan, this mystery was hidden from him so well that he wanted to kill Jesus. He tried to get Jesus to sin like he did the first man, but he couldn't make him do it. So he thought, the first man was a pushover. I mean, you know, somebody sent me an email, two or three people sent me this email this week, and it says that, you know, in the beginning, God made man and woman. He made him some children. And then he told them, children, I'm going to put you in a garden. Why, God? That sounds just like our children? I'm going to put you in a garden. Why? And I'm going to put one tree in the garden you can't eat. Well, why? Why can't I eat that one? Well, because I said so. No, you can't eat that. Y'all ever told your children something like that? You don't do this. Why, Mama? Because I said so. Well, that's not good enough, Mama. Why? I want to know why. And on and on and on. And, of course, it goes down through there several little pictures with men and women making all these things, saying why, you know, he did it. Why did you? Well, he made me do it, or she made me do it. You know, all this kind of stuff, pointing the blame. And so it said, God in his infinite mercy decided it's time to give man and woman their children. And so he gave us children to let us see what we were like to him. And so now then we know exactly how God felt when you tell your children. Then it says you spend the first 2 years teaching your children to walk and talk. And then you spend the next 16 years telling them to sit down and be quiet. That's really kind of the way it is, isn't it? Because I think little Joshua, he's just a little bitty guy. He's already crawling around beginning to pull himself up. And I mean, man, he's into everything. I mean, he just, you know, he's everywhere. He says, your sweet little sweetheart, but I thought, he's just a normal little guy. He's checking out the world he's in. But you give him another 6 months, he'd be running through this place just like these other two, you know, just like mine. Now, my own grandchildren, Preston, when Preston comes to see me, I have to hold him in my lap. He can destroy my office in 2 minutes. I mean, he can destroy the place because he's a busy little guy. He is really something else. But anyway, that's kids, isn't it? That's just the way they are. That's why God gave them to us. But none of the princes of this world knew what they were doing when they killed Jesus. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If Satan and his host had have known that he was fixing to turn his power over this kingdom over to Jesus, if he had had any idea that when Jesus went into the depths of hell and spent that 3 days, and then when Jesus arose, I can see him now go, I can just see him walking up to, I can just see him as he walks up to Satan. I can just see the fear as he reaches up and grabs him by the tie and jerks it up and jerks his keys of death, hell, and the grave away from him and said, now these are mine, Buster. I beat you. I'm in charge now. So now he can come back among living men and he can hold his hand up and say, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. All power. I'm in control now, folks. Well, I can't think of nobody I'd rather have in control than our King. Can you? I know we can trust him. I know he'll put us to the test. I know he'll check us out. I know he'll do all those things. But I know who he is, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I do close my eyes in death on this earth, whenever it is someday, I know just like the scripture says, I shall immediately be in eternity with him in the kingdom of God. I technically... The victory over death and pain has been won by the King. And so whenever this body does give it up someday, I don't have any idea how long that's going to be. I hope it's a long time because I'm having fun fighting the battles and serving the King. I'm enjoying living. But I know that one day this thing that we live in is going to wear out. I ain't never seen one yet that didn't wear out. But some of us last longer than others because the more we sin, the quicker it wears out. And that's something The quicker we sin, the quicker your body deteriorates. And that's what's so sad. Now then, if none of the princes of this world, which is Satan and his host, they had known that. But it would have, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9 and 10. I thought about the song that we wrote up, that y'all sing up there, we sing up there, that this first verse was on there, verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen. Our ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. When you take those that the mystery has been hidden from, they'll only quote that verse. Look what it says. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You can't get it through your ears. You can't get it through your eyes. It can't come into your heart. But there is one way it can get to you, and this is in the next verse, 10. But God hath revealed it unto them by his Spirit. So how are you going to get these things that God has prepared for those that love him? By the Spirit. If you get into the Word and you let the Holy Spirit come into you, the Spirit of the living God will reveal these things to you, and he will show you the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Now, the Holy Spirit revealed that to me. He began to talk to me. And when he began to talk to me and tell me these things, I went to my Baptist preachers and I sat down with them and talked to them about these things, even some of the guys with PhDs from the seminary, and none of them would agree that God's Word meant what it said. I thought, okay, God, I got a choice to make. I'm either going to believe them or I'm going to believe you. So I said, Lord, that's real simple. I'm going to believe you. And I started believing what God's Word said, and I started teaching what God's Word says. And when you teach what God's Word says, that's when he began to open an avenue to me for a demonstration of his Spirit's power. Now, here I am in a little Bible class over in Justin, over at the Justin Baptist Church. And, of course, I had already got started on this in Louisville at Lakeland Baptist Church, some. In fact, when I left over there, there was 30 deacons over there. And when I told them I was leaving and coming to Justin, they had a little going-away party for me because I had been a member there 20-something years. But I remember one of the deacons. He was a little older than me at the time, and he was an engineer for one of the big oil companies. And he walked up to me and he said, Thurman, there's been a lot of men in this church since I've been here. I've been here, he'd been there 20 or 25 years. And he said, there's been a lot of men that's come and went in this church. And he said, most of them I won't ever remember. But he said, there's one thing about you, I won't never forget who you are. I said, well, now what do you mean by that? He said, you're definitely a unique guy. He said, you don't believe nothing we Baptists believe, hardly, other than salvation. You step out there on a realm all by yourself. And he said, it's obvious you must have stepped onto something, because said every once in a while we hear about and see miracles that happens when you pray for people. So he said, I won't never forget you. Now, why could he never forget me? I'm just a normal man like anybody else. But it was a demonstration of the Spirit's power that he saw that's the reason he'd never forget. Because that same Holy Spirit was living in him. And his Spirit and my Spirit bore witness to one another. And that's why he'll never forget. You never forget when you see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know, because that's something. Oh, yeah, Thurman Scrivener. Who remembers Thurman Scrivener? I mean, he's just a guy. You know, but the Spirit that lives in Thurman Scrivener is something. He's the king of the universe. The Spirit that lives in you is that same Spirit, and he's something else. If you'll just allow him to work and you be used through your life, he will do great and mighty things through your life. And I love it. Even if it's praying for a guy to fix a radiator, don't you, Jack? Amen. I love it. You know, but when you get it in your spirit, my boss, he does miracles. Your boss? Who's your boss? Jesus Christ. What? I mean, that turns most of them off. Well, let me pray for you. No, it ain't going to do no good. Oh, you don't believe, but I do. Whose faith is God going to use to get that radiator fixed? That man right there. God don't care if he's a Southern Baptist. It don't make no difference with God. He just wants faith in his Word. And so, you know, it doesn't make any difference. So But here it says, but God has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, these deep things of God, only God knows them, only the Spirit knows them, and he's going to reveal them to you if you seek him and diligently get in obedience to his word and read and study and pray and worship. You know, now you may just be praising and worshiping. You may be driving down the road with your knee against your steering wheel. You know, you ever done this, both hands up, praising the Lord, and somebody drive by and say, whoa, what, look at that idiot. He's got both hands up. I've had him do me that a few times. But when you're driving down the road holding that steering wheel, not doing anything crazy, but you're just looking straight ahead and you're just worshiping and praising God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, I just can't stand it no more. She loves me so much, I'm just going to talk to her and tell her something. And he tells you something. And you get to hear his voice. Whoa! Is that awesome or is that awesome? It's awesome when God speaks to you like that. But he'll do these kind of things. He'll reveal things to you. Or he may just say, son, take a right turn to the next turn. I got something for you. Now, it depends on, am I going to obey? Because you've been worshiping and praising. He wants to use you mightily to do something. And when he says, turn right the next turn, God, that ain't where I'm going. Now, see, we as Christians should never even ask that question. But that human factor is always there. I mean, I remember one time I was going to speak at a place way over in Plano. I'd never been there. And I knew that day I got tied up with some people in ministry. And when I looked at my clock, I was, oh, my goodness, there ain't no way I'm going to get from here. Only way I knew to get there was go down 35E all the way to 635 and take 635 all the way over and go up into that place in Plano. And I thought, oh, that's going to take me an hour at least. I know I ain't going to make it. So as I'm going down the road, I'm praising and worshiping the Lord. Lord, thank you that I'm going to get there on time. And as I go running down the road, all of a sudden I said, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you. I know I'm going to get there on time. I began to approach the brand new George Bush, which was only finished at 35. There wasn't nothing to the right. And as I got close to it, he said, son, take the George Bush. Well, what did I do? God, I don't know where the George Bush goes. I ain't never been on it. Well, do you think God knows where the George Bush goes? Why can't we trust him? How did he reveal that to me? By his Holy Spirit. So I'm fighting within. I want to turn back, but Lord, I don't know where that goes. That's new territory. That's virgin territory. I ain't never been on the George Bush. It's a new road. Who knows if it's going to wind up where I want to go or if it goes somewhere. Who knows? But I said, Lord, are you sure? And I'm almost missed the exit. I mean, the lion's already getting the double deal. And he said, son, take the George Bush. He was really firm that time. I said, okay. So I veered off and get up on the top, and I get right on the tip top, and I said, God, I hope you know where the George Bush goes. Said, oh, Lord. That's a great man of faith. Oh, Lord. Can't you see God said, oh, my. Why do I ever do anything for you? Because I love you. That the only reason he does things for us? So I go zipping off down the George Bush for my first time, and I go over there, and then I come to a toll booth. Okay, I got to stop and pay them money. And then I go a little further and come to another one. I thought, good grief, how many of these things are they? Then I go a little further and come to a third one. And every time I go, they want 75 cents. I said, wow, okay. So when I get to the third one, I said, sir, do you know where a certain street's at? I said, first of all, I'm looking for Highway 190. You know where that is? He said, this is 190. Well, see, it tells you what I knew about the George Bush. I said, well, then you would know where a certain road is. He said, it's the next exit. It's about a half a mile up the road on your right. I pulled up there and pulled off, and right in my sight when I hit the top of the hill was the restaurant with a room in it where I was going to speak, and I got there 15 minutes early. Now then, does it pay good dividends to be tuned into the Spirit of God? Yeah. When you're driving down the road worshiping him and praising him, will he talk to you? Yes, he will. Then sometimes our old fleshly nature will defeat everything he's trying to do. But you got to lay down the flesh and listen to the Spirit. Because God will reveal these wonderful things to you by his Spirit. And as he talks to you, you'll be able to go places and do things. I mean, he knows where everything's at. But how many people never ask him for nothing? Too many of us. Too many of us want to do it my way. Now, especially when it's men, you know. Maybe your girls are maybe not quite so hard-headed as us men. But us men, we have a real problem with being hard-headed. You know, we want to do it my way. Now, all the women said, amen. Especially mine. Okay. Now then, verse 11 and 12. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Do you know and understand God? No. You don't know who he is. I mean, when I think about whenever that song, How Awesome God Is, when I walk outside at night and I look up and I saw the moon the other night, big, beautiful thing. It's only 240,000 miles out there. It looks like a little ball, a little golden yellow ball out there. It's only 240,000 miles out there. But that little ball that's floating around out there, it's a perfect distance from the earth. It stays the same place. It never you never see the other side of it. It never makes a revolution. You know, it's amazing how it stays right with the earth and how that controls so many things on the earth. Now, I heard a scientist say one time that the moon is so awesomely controlled by God that if it was to vary just a little bit, that it would change the magnetic pull on the earth to that at time. It was only like 2 or 3 degrees it would have to change, that the entire earth's surface would be covered with water. Now, the little tiny variation it has is what brings the tides in and brings the magnetic pull. Isn't that awesome how God does all that? And then you look out there and you see the cosmos, and to think that he made all that, and you're going to tell me you think you understand that God? No. You don't have a clue who he is. You don't know how he works. I will have to say that, again, as Dave and I was talking about the scripture the other day, he said, Pastor, life is really fun now. When you really get this book hidden in you, you understand the rules he's given us for us to work on earth. So when you understand the rules, then you can minister to people. Yeah. All you got to do is believe what's written, and you can minister to people. So when people call, whether it be Sharon or Cheryl or me or who, anybody, Rosemary, any of Kathy, whoever we are, if we are ministering to people, we have studied the rule book and we know the rules. We know the power we have over the enemy. We know the part we got to do to get sin taken care of. And when we pray for people in faith, we get to see God show up here and do a lot of wonderful things at this place. And I love all these praise reports. I love them. I love to see God change people's lives. How would you like to get to heaven one day and you see somebody, and they walk up to you and say, oh, they throw their arm around your neck and say, oh, praise God, because of what you told me one time when I met you, I come to know Jesus. That's the reason I'm in heaven.
Whoa, what a statement.
Ooh. Is that awesome?
Yes.
But how would you like to be at the great white throne, and they're on that side and you're on this side, and they look around and say, Thurman, I knew you for 20 years. How come you're over there with Jesus, and I'm over here, I'm lost? You must have known the answer to how to get there. I didn't know, and you never told me. Now, that would be just as bad on the other side, wouldn't it? You didn't tell me. Ooh, and they're going to spend, knowing, they're going to spend eternity in hell. Ooh, in the lake of fire. And it's all your fault because you didn't tell them. You were too busy. Is that the way we are?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're too busy. We don't have time to stop and talk to people about Jesus. You know, I mean, I was down buying some parts for my trailer the other day, and when I got the parts laid out there and everything, I said, by the way, sir, the guy looked like he's a little younger than me. I mean, you know, I'm sure he's in his mid-50s anyway. But he was working their counterparts. I could tell he was gray-headed. You know, he was not a teenager, that's for sure. I said, by the way, sir, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He never even looked up, just kept writing. He said, there's two things I don't talk about, politics and religion. I said, well, there's two things I talk about, and that's politics and religion. So I'm going to tell you about Jesus, whether you want to hear about him or not. So I told him about Jesus. I said, you never made Jesus Lord of your life? Nope. I said, boy, you know you're going to bust hell wide open someday? I said, but don't have to. All you got to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Now, he could look up and say, well, this guy's seasoned. This guy had just asked me a question. Do you know how to put this on a trailer? I said, yes, sir, I know how to put this on a trailer. I have a pretty good education. I've built a few trailers in my life. I'm pretty well educated. I believe I can handle this. So when a man sees you and knows you're educated and trained and you can do all these things, then maybe that might carry a little bit of weight that you're not just a dummy. You know, maybe if I walked in and didn't know nothing about nothing, but he asked me what I used to do, and I told him I used to fly jet airplanes. He said, wow, you flown the big jets? I said, oh, yeah, no problem, piece of cake. Ooh, now that separates me from a great number of people in the world. You know that? Like my dad, the first time my dad went with me on a flight to New York, Mom and Dad come up, and back in those days, you know, you could let people come in the cockpit. You know, we didn't have all this terrorist stuff. Dad walked up in the cockpit, and he's standing there looking at this thing. All these gauges and all these circuit breakers and everything all over the place. He said, son, don't tell me you know what all this stuff goes to. I said, Dad, you better hope I do. Here we are at 35,000 feet flying along up here 500 miles an hour and on the way to New York, and I'm going to try my best to find New York. No, I know exactly what I'm doing up there. I'm not uneducated in this area. I mean, would you want to go with me if I told you this is my first flight? I ain't never been in an airplane before, but this is my first flight. But let's see if we can find New York. I think it's off up that way somewhere. Let's see if we can find it. No, you ain't going with me. That's like the other day when Sharon and I and Eldon and Nancy, we went up to Branson for a couple of days just to enjoy everything. On the way up there, we run into some bad weather. We couldn't see the ground anymore, so I had to file IFR and fly IFR. Well, we flew through the clouds for about 45 minutes, I guess, you know, went around some thunderstorms and everything else, and lo and behold, when we came out on the other side, there was the airport of Branson right in front of us. Isn't that amazing how we found it in all them clouds? But, hey, that wasn't my first flight.
We prayed for the weather, though, to be perfect for landing.
Amen. Oh, yeah, and it was, too. Yeah, praise God. We had a beautiful, beautiful trip up there. And back, coming back, the weather couldn't have been any better. It was beautiful coming back. But now he says here, no man knoweth, but God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, God wants to freely give you all these things. All he wants you to do is serve him and put him first. And when you serve him and put him first, stay in the Word, you read the Word, you worship and praise him. I mean, just think, if you were driving down the road with your mother or your dad, usually let's just say it with the dad. You're driving down the road with your dad, and you look up and you say, Dad, I'm sure glad I'm your son. I'm so grateful that I was born into this family. You've been such a great dad. Dad, you can do all things. You know, if your son does nothing but brag on you, he says, okay, son, what do you want? Whatever, you give him anything, right, Bruce? Sure. I mean, don't you think that if we're made like that, if we worship and praise him and thank him that we have the privilege of knowing him as our Lord and Savior, don't you think, which freely wants to give us these things, he'll talk to us and reveal these things to us? Of course he will. He'll show you how these things happen. He'll show you how to walk in divine health. He'll show you how to walk over the power of the enemy. And he'll show you how to be blessed. I mean, when Dave said to be blessed, I think about how God blesses this country because of the Christians that are serving him. You think of the number of men and women in this country that God has blessed. I mean, now, I'm not saying you have to have $1 million to be blessed. I'm saying if you woke up this morning and you were able to get out of bed and you had a place to sleep and you had a car to get in and you were still able to do this, you were blessed. You know that? Okay, you said, but I only got $50 in the bank. That's okay. That's $50 more than a lot of people got. Some people don't have any. Some people are in debt, tremendous amounts. But hey, if you've been working with God, loving him, serving him, and doing what he says all these years, if you've been serving God for 20 or 30 years, and you've been walking in obedience to his word, I guarantee you're not in some kind of huge debt. You have your debts pretty well paid up. You've got a pretty decent automobile to drive, and you got a home, and God has taken care of you if you're doing what he says. He promised it in his word. I like that part where he says, if you obey me in all things, I will command the blessings to overtake you. Do you like that, Scott? What are you going to do when God says, okay, blessing, go get Scott this week. He's been a good boy. Go get him. I mean, he can't outrun it. I'm going to command the blessings upon him this week. I mean, wouldn't you love it if God turned a week of blessings loose on you?
Amen.
Absolutely. But he says that if you'll obey me, he promises that. Now then, he's freely given these things to us. Now let's go to verse 13 and 14. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, you're comparing the Word of God with the Word of God. These spiritual things with spiritual things. But the average person in church today does not do this. They get into the things of the world. When you meet with somebody, man or woman, even church people, how many times have you went back into a room or you've been after church is over and you got through with what you're doing and you went back there and somebody said, man, I want to talk about this message more today. Let's get the Bible. I want to see. Let's look at this. Somebody said, well, I want to talk about the store I went shopping last week. Let's talk about that. Oh, you want to talk about the things of the world? I ain't interested. I want to talk about God's Word. You know, I want to consider spiritual things. You know, I want to talk about spiritual things. I want to know more about God. Well, now that person's the one he's going to bless. If you say, well, I'm going to talk about my new car I just bought, or I want to talk about my new truck I just bought, or my new house I just bought, or I want to tell you how good I am because I worked so hard to pay for this new house. Hey, that's worldly stuff. That won't ever get you anywhere with God. Don't ever sit around and say, I did this, I did that, I done this, I've done all because I'm somebody. No. Talk about the Word. That's where we need to get. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Okay, so maybe that's a problem in the church. Maybe we got too many natural men, not enough spiritual men. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, they can't know these things because they're spiritually discerned. If God doesn't reveal these things to you by his Spirit, you ain't never going to get them. That's why you can go through life just like I did. I could go through life all my life, be a Sunday school teacher and everything else, and teach God's Word, be a deacon in church, and never know the healing power of Jesus like James 5:14-15. Until the Spirit of God revealed that to me that night in 1986, I didn't know James 5:14-15 was in God's Word. But yet I'd been a Sunday school teacher and a deacon, and I'd never seen anybody get healed. Had I ever been to a place where people were sick? Hey, we had people sick all over our church. But I had never obeyed God's Word to believe it. And I didn't even know it was in there. How can a man miss such a powerful thing? It had not been spiritually discerned. But when God revealed it to me that night, in 1986, and I used that verse, those two verses, to pray for a man, I got to see God do a complete healing on a man with stage 4 lymphoma cancer. Well, that changed my life forever. And I mean, it has changed a lot of other people's lives since then, too. Now, let's go to the next couple of verses, 14, 15, 16. But he that is spiritual judges all things. What are you limited to if you're spiritual? Ain't nothing. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do we have the mind of God living in us?
Yes.
Say, if we have the mind of Christ living in us, and we get into that Word, and we start seeking Him, and we start walking in total obedience to His Word, when we walk in obedience and do what He says, I guarantee that mind that's in you will communicate with you. The mind of Christ, it will communicate with your spirit. And you will get to see God do great and awesome things in your life. You will see people get saved. You'll see people get healed. You will see there will come times when God will speak to you. I remember that when Bill Gothard, when I was on his circuit with him there for a little while, it didn't last long, but when I was there, I remember that day he and I were driving along that little red car. We were both sitting in the back and two guys in the front. And he said, Thurman, he said, I've been in the ministry over 50 years. I have never heard that audible voice of God. He said, you've heard it. I said, oh, yeah, several times. He said, well, you know, I don't know anybody that's ever heard it. I said, well, have you ever asked? Well, I don't guess I have. Now, I thought about it, think about it, I don't guess I ever asked anybody. I said, you guys in the front seat there, I said, have either one of you guys ever heard God speak to you in a voice that sounds audible? One of them, he said, I have, twice. The other one looked at me and said, you have? He said, I said, how about you? He said, no, I ain't never heard it. I said, here was two men in this car. I asked the question. One of them's heard God speak to him, and the other one has not. So we get over to the studio, and there's two beautiful little young girls, and they're probably in their early 20s. And they were working for him. I walked in, I said, hey, you girls, I want to ask you all a question. Either one of you young ladies ever heard the audible voice of God speak to you? One of the girls said, no, I never have. The other said, I heard it twice. I said, honey, would you mind if I ask you when it happened to you? She said, no, I'd be happy to tell you. She said, it happened when I was four. When I was 4 years old. She said, I was raised in a wonderful Christian home. My dad and mother were wonderful Christian people. She said, I was sitting there, laying in my bed. Daddy had already put me to bed. And I was laying there, and I was just praying, continuing to talk to God. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, like, Elizabeth? Elizabeth. I thought, that's Daddy's voice. She said, I jumped down out of my bed. I run down the hallway. I turned into Mom and Dad's bedroom, and I walked up, and I said, Daddy? He said, what, honey? Did you call me? No. I didn't call you. She said, but Daddy, I heard you clear. Oh, no, no, no. He said, go ahead and go back to bed. So she said, I went back down there, and I'm confused. I got into bed, and I'm laying there. In just a few minutes, I heard, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. She said, I know that's Daddy's voice. She jumped up and ran down the hall and said, Daddy, what is this? What do you need? He said, honey, I didn't call you. She said, I know I heard your voice. But 4 years old, so she goes back down to her bedroom, and she gets there and she says, whoever this voice is talking to me, I need to know who you are. And she said, it said, Elizabeth, this is God. I am your daddy. And it's time for you to get saved. I want you to accept my son right now as your Lord and Savior. She said, I knelt down beside that bed and asked Jesus to come into my heart at 4 years old. Isn't that an awesome testimony? Bill stood there amazed. I said, see, Bill, you might be amazed if you ask people every once in a while, have you ever heard the voice of God? We asked two men in the car, one of them had heard it. We asked two girls at the studio, one of them had heard it. And the second one, I asked her to share her testimony. I thought that was an awesome testimony, that little four-year-old girl. She knelt down beside that bed. Jesus, the Father, called her himself. I wonder why he did that. I'll tell you why he did that. There was a great Christian mom and daddy praying for that little girl. Isn't that something? Now, why do we mess up on ours? Because we don't pray enough. Well, let me tell you, as Christian men and women, we ought to be praying for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We need to never forget to pray. Just like we started at the beginning today, we need to never forget to pray for our authorities. Your prayers. So don't forget, it's not over till Jesus says it's over. But I can only imagine what God would do if we would do that. He is awesome. Now then, we'll close with a word of prayer. We've gone through 1 Corinthians chapter 2, all 16 verses. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And then for all of you that are new, if you don't know, all this media here is free. You can take anything you want. If you want to give a donation to this ministry, there's a box over there. We don't even take up an offering. But we have the box. And if you need to be prayed for anything, Cheryl and I, Nancy and Eldon will be here. Sharon's here if you want to talk to her. Dave will be here. Rosemary's here. We got all kinds of people here that can pray for you in this ministry. So we will be here to pray for you. And one more time, I want to say how grateful I am that today is my lovely wife's 61st birthday. Hallelujah. You know, she's a sweetheart. She's a sweetheart. Praise God. I'm grateful for her and the contribution she makes to this ministry. She is really something. And then all these children, I think about all these wives and all these children that she has helped, her and Christy. When I think about, I had no idea when I made that statement from the pulpit when she was a lady in my church that, you know, if you're going to do something for Christmas this year, do it for children. do something. Don't go out and spend a lot of money. I remember saying, don't go out and spend a lot of money that you don't have for people that don't need things that you give them. But I said, give money that you have to somebody to help people that don't have nothing. Cheryl took it to heart. She went home and started this and spoke to her daughter, and her and her daughter now have worked diligently on this all these last years. And this number seven, isn't it?
This is
$218,000 to help the poor and the needy, and that's something, isn't it? Now, I mean, just like last year, we thought maybe $60,000. We went way over, thinking, "Oh Lord, if $60,000 would be awesome." Then he brought $68,000. Every time we put a goal on something, God always tops it, you know, beyond our wildest dreams, you know. Like, I will share one other little statement like that. When we went to GLC to make our teachings the other day on television, we got ready to come back. Cheryl said, how much tailwind are you believing God for to get home? I said, I'm going to really step out on a limb, 50 knots. She said, I'm believing for 60. Okay, we get it. We're on the way out on climb. She says, wow, is this GPS reading right? I said, well, of course it is. I said, what's wrong? She said, look at our ground speed. I looked at her. I said, wow. She said, how are you going? I said, well, I think this is high enough. We were 13.5. So I just leveled off at 13.5 and set cruise power. We were doing 295 miles an hour. We had a 75-knot ground speed. I mean, a 75-knot tailwind. We were doing 295 miles an hour from Odessa to Dallas, so right here. Took us 1 hour and 6 minutes. We come from Odessa home in 1 hour and 6 minutes. Now, that's getting across the country. You know it? 300. I had never hit 300 on that airplane. So one time we come down, I did kick it up to 295. So I told Dave, why didn't you go ahead and top 300? I said, well, I don't know. But this time I thought, okay, I'll leave it at cruise power. And I started a little 300-400 foot a minute descent and went to 306. And I said, okay, I've seen excess of 300 miles an hour now. So, but if you can believe God, what can He do? He can do far more than you can. Okay, Joseph, you got a question right here at the end. Let's see what. Just a statement?
Point here. It takes me about 15 to 20 minutes longer to go from here to my house
than it is me to come.
It took you to come from Odessa to here.
Praise the Lord. That tells a dedication of a man and his wife that will drive an hour and 20 minutes to come to church when it only took me an hour and 6 minutes to come from Odessa. But it usually takes longer than that to get out there, too. But for all of you, I don't say this often enough, but for all of you that come here, I am grateful, and I hope that I spend enough time with God to teach you something every Sunday that makes your trip worthwhile to come here. I try my best to do that. And then I want to thank all of you for all the donations and gifts that you've given this year. We're almost at the end of a year, December the end. But I want to thank you for all these wonderful gifts, everybody that's given to through this ministry for these children. Because Cheryl and Christy have raised thousands of dollars to help these children. And every penny that comes in with that Christ children on it, we make sure it goes to those children. We don't keep a dime of it in the ministry. We spend it all for these children, and if there's anything left, then Cheryl just gives it to the orphan's home where those children are. See, because it costs, you know how much it costs to take care of 469 people in a year? How would you like to pay for maintaining school, clothes, education, everything, and food and everything else for all these people? No, I think that you forget what it takes, but they're doing it every day. We only help them during Christmas, you know, so that's something. But anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for the privilege to be your son. I am so grateful that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're our King, our Savior. Lord, I thank you that I have the privilege to have been raised up in America where we know you. And Lord, it was so easy to come to know you as my Lord and Savior, because I was raised up in this wonderful country. And Lord, I ask you to do a great and mighty work on our leaders, on all the ones in government. I ask you to begin to convict each one of them that they may know you, the true, one and only true God, in a better way. Move upon their hearts and change them. And Lord, bring this country back to a place where we'll serve you. Lord, all these people that are lost, that are going down the wrong path, I ask you to send people to them, people that'll be willing to talk to them, pray for them, and we get them saved. And Lord, I know that only your Holy Spirit can change these people that are tuned into the world. All the people that are lost and dying and going to hell, they need Jesus. Lord, help us to be that light as we go forth, that we might win many souls into the kingdom of God. Now, Lord, thank you for Candace and her friend, her as they went to Africa, and they done all the wonderful things they did. May you bless them and bless them abundantly, even beyond what you've already done by leading all these people and all this stuff. Let this only be a beginning of what you'll use these two women for. Use them mightily for your kingdom. Now, Lord, this week and all the weeks ahead, use all of us as your children to bring glory and honor to the kingdom of God. And we praise you and thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.